Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Just how companies and labor unions work together faces scrutiny at the U.S. Supreme Court today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Supreme Court hears arguments today in what experts are calling the most important labor case in decades. A Florida man filed a complaint saying an agreement between his union and his employer violates a federal anti-bribery law. And as Gigi Duban reports, the case could alter the future of union organizing.
Back in the day, when it came to unions and employers, things were tense. Now, you could say they're more like frenemies. Patrick Semmons is with the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation.
Essentially, the unions are getting together with the company, and the company hands over its workers to a union in exchange for something.
Here's how these deals work. Sometimes unions promise not to picket, or they might give money to a cause the company supports. But federal labor law says employers can't give unions a thing of value. That can amount to bribery. But here's the problem, according to Benjamin Sachs, a Harvard law professor.
Almost everything that unions and employers agree to, say in a collective bargaining agreement, to raise wages, to require employees to pay dues, could be considered a thing of value.
Sachs says if the court rules against the union, there's no new model for how unions will work with companies in the future. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
5 days after the typhoon cut through the Philippines, the mechanisms of international aid are beginning to turn more quickly today. The need is acute. In Tacloban City, where a wall of water 20 feet high swept away nearly everything in its path during the storm, there was a deadly panic today at a rice warehouse. Hearing the stories, people around the world want to help. And here to talk about ways to optimize our giving is Carmen Wong Ulrich, a personal finance expert and host of one of the shows in the family here, Marketplace Money. Carmen, good to see you.
Hello, David. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We hear the need, the desperation coming out of the Philippines. Now, many of us want to take action. What are some good questions to ask when you want to donate after a disaster?
Well, some really good questions to ask are how far are your dollars going to go and are they going to the right place? There's some great tools out there in order to figure out which charity you want to donate to. CharityNavigator.org and GuideStar.org give you a lot of transparency.
You've seen this before. Often people in the face of disaster, their impulse is to clean out their closet and send stuff. Apparently the aid community has coined a term for this.
Yes, SWEDOW. S-W-E-D-O-W. Stuff we don't want.
So you send blankets. Sometimes people do need blankets.
Well, it's not a matter of what you need. People who are local know what is really needed. So, for example, for Hurricane Sandy here in New York, people emptying out their closets and giving things in terms of their pantry, that made a lot more sense because it's local, it's easy to transport. However, if you're going across the world, it's better to give the money. There's more efficiency with the money. It gets put to good use. And the reason why they use this term, sweet out, is because then they have to work to actually get rid of it or put it someplace else. And that's extra expense for them. So the best way to give is actually to give money.
But how much to give is clearly a very individual decision. But I suppose there are ways to be organized in how you come to that decision.
And interestingly enough, study after study finds that actually people who have and make less money give more. So it's very interesting and very personal, and it's your decision and it's a decision to make. But if it's really important to you now to give, you want to make sure to fold that into your budget somehow and even automate it. So let's say you pay for your cable bill every month. Why not pay your charity every month? Also, the end of the year, though, this is a big giving time because of tax season as well. This is when you can also get that deduction.
You can tweet at our Marketplace Money host, Carmen Wong Ulrich, at Live Money. Carmen, thank you.
Thank you, David.
recent weeks, three Sports Authority stores in Chicago have been hit by robbers, but they weren't any ordinary heists. It's the work of so-called flash robbers, teams dragging whole racks of merchandise out the door at top speed. We may have a trend story here, as Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Prosecutor David Williams runs the Organized Crime Task Force for the Cook County State's Attorney. He's also the first person I heard use the term flash robs. Here's a couple tips from him. Tie down your merchandise. Keep the best stuff away from the window or the front of the store. Of course, he recognizes that stores are also trying to attract paying customers.
And they want to put their fancy products from the window, right? But that also makes it easier to steal.
Curtis Bailey runs Security Consulting Strategies, retail, his specialty. He says there's not a lot stores can do. Make sure you've got cameras working, then train the staff to lock down the registers at the first sign of trouble and get out of the way.
If possible, maybe an employee can get out the door and maybe get some license plate numbers if that's available and descriptions of people, but not to interfere and not to get hurt.
Safety first. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And how Vietnam deals with corruption in its banking sector. A former director general of Agribank Financial Leasing Company in Vietnam could be put to death after his conviction in a $25 million fraud and corruption case. Another executive, a corporate chairman, has also been convicted of a potentially capital crime. The People's Court of Ho Chi Minh City is now reviewing the prosecutor's death penalty recommendations for both men. Bloomberg News says Vietnamese banks have the most bad debt of any country in Southeast Asia, and the government's been cracking down on abuse. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.